Hello, this is Pastor John. Thank you so much for coming to the website today. So glad that many of you can show up. Man, I got a lot of things that I have to do today. An awful lot of things that I have to do today. Office is just cluttered with work. Got to grade papers, got to do other stuff. But I came across a wonderful article, an article that was sent to me by a Christian. I want to read it to you. It kind of like gives an idea of where a little bit of my feeling down comes from. And it's because of what has happened to the church, where the church is headed, where it's gone. Fade out on the music, all right? Fade out on the music. There we go. Yeah, let's fade out. You know, I've been having really a great time this semester thus far, teaching in the system. And the reason that I'm having such a good time is because of the exchange between some of the students and myself. I think a far more intelligent exchange than I get from Christians, our professing Christians anyhow. I was talking with Pastor Reamer today, this morning. He called me here in the office. We had a great conversation, and also got a note from Karsten Miller back in Maryland, and just had a great time reading his letter and sending him a quick note back and going over about 27 pieces of mail. Didn't get a chance to do anything yesterday because on Mondays I'm all day out at the college, and I didn't get home till about 10:30 last night. So, of course, I just crashed and had a bowl of cereal. That was about it. Listen to this article. It says, the new churches avoid problems arising from the generation gap where the older members of the conservative congregations are seen to judge the youth harshly. In many of our new gathering places, the flowing priestly robes, the wooden pulpits, the hymn books, and even the choirs are gone. The man or woman delivering the message is free to wear a suit or shorts. They can sport bling bling, even dreadlocks. And they speak the language of the youth, where the traditional pastor would say, Jesus Christ walked into the house. The hip-hop would say, JC paced into some digs. I don't get it. But, well, maybe that's it. James Capuni of the Evangelical Church is the elderist, says that the Bible has to be interpreted in a simplified language, such as Sheng, S-H-E-N-G, which is understood by the majority. Now, this story, I guess, comes out of Africa, and it's showing what they're doing in the African churches. And I just printed the piece, and not the pictures, but they show the youngsters up on a stage. It's a nightclub atmosphere, and they're dancing, and they're going through all of that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that well, someone sent me this article because the article went very closely with the dream that I had the other day, yesterday, the night before last, something like that. And it was a dream that I had that I was putting on my robe, getting ready to preach and go out to preach. And they were dancing in there, doing very similar dances that I saw in my actual dream that I have, exactly like in this picture, and I couldn't understand it. And after the dance was over, I said, okay, well, I'm supposed to preach to these people. And they were in the entertainment room. They were in the recreation room. They were recreating themselves. And in my dream, as I was looking for the church to preach to it, I couldn't find them because they were in recreation. It's where we are today. I don't even want to finish reading the article. It's that's the sound of it being balled up right here in the Lucy Coleman studio. It's ridiculous. Let me give a line of encouragement to some of you out there that have come to the same amount of frustration that I seem to have come to. You're only going to find a traveler now and then in the true Christian church. The true Christian church is seen as a cult. We are cult members. We are old, antiquated. We are outdated. Let me give you, man, I'm loving it. I didn't think that I would do this, but I'm going to do it. I was on the way to work yesterday, and you have to understand, Monday I get up very early in the morning, and piling everything in the car, thought that I had everything. So anyhow, I'm on the way to the college. I'm on the way to the college. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful day yesterday. It was supposed to rain, but the clouds had formed and they were kind of high up in the sky and the sun was breaking through in the east. It was such a beautiful scene as I was driving my car listening to good music. And all of a sudden, I began to worship God. I saw this as I transitioned from one freeway to another freeway. I saw this beautiful silhouette of clouds in the sky, billowous clouds, and I thought of what the Bible says, that he will come in the clouds for the church. And I began to worship. It was like a rush of God overflowed my soul. It was as if God was in the coop with me. I thought I'd put a picture of my car up on the website and so that you could see the way the vehicle looks. That's the kind of car I drive. I live in Southern California. It's a convertible. It's a coupe. It's about 2002. It's not a new car. It's the first model that came out like that. I've always wanted a car like that since I was a kid. We used to see the drawings of them when I was in high school, and we used to get a Japanese motor car book, and they would have drawings of this car. And I told my friends, that's the kind of car that I'm going to get. Well, I was able to purchase one with cash. I just bought it straight out with cash. Give me that car. And it's the best car that I've ever owned in my life. It's already been willed to my son-in-law and my daughter when I die. It's paid for. It's mine. I got the pink slip, and I love driving it. It's just as especially beautiful for Southern California when it's a sunny day and I'm driving up the coast and I put the top down. Oh, help me, Jesus. The dopamine is flowing through my brain. I am enjoying that ride. But anyhow, I'm transitioning on freeway. And if you know anything about where I live, the 105 freeway east to the 110 south is the way I go to work. And I see the sun and the clouds, and it's like God is speaking to my mind saying, so what do you think? And I begin to talk out loud in the car, and I say, you know, God, I love you so much. Look at this scene. It's better than anything that you can buy on a postcard or anything. And I begin to worship God. I begin to love God. I begin to weep in the car. I begin to really get carried away by this scene. And then I begin to tell God how much I loved him. This is the way I pray. I say, man, you know I love you, man. I give everything for you. You make me feel so good. You're so good to me. And man, for about 5 minutes, I felt this rush. You Christians that are truly saved, you understand what I'm saying right here. I felt this rush in my soul, man. My soul was tingling. My body was tingling all over. I was worshiping. I was loving him. And then I said, thank you, Lord, for creating me and putting me here. I don't care about what's going on in the church. I love you because it's all about my love for you, man. I love you. I'm going to follow you. It was beautiful. I'm listening to some beautiful music, driving in a beautiful car, looking at this beautiful sunset, breathing this beautiful air-conditioned air. See, we American Christians, it's so easy to worship God because we got these things around us, huh? You know, these things that kind of connect us to the environment. You know, riding around in a car like that kind of like says, wow, what does that mean? You guys know what that means. That means that PJ is living in sunny Southern California. These are the kind of vehicles that established men drive that have been working for more than a month of Sundays. That's right. And I'm not bragging. I'm not hooked into the material and nothing like that. My grandkids were saying, come on, Lolo, let's go for a spin. I'd have to put their little bucket seats in the back and strap them to the back of the seat before I take them. I didn't take them riding. They just loved to see Lolo drive up in his little Sportster. Take a little zip. You know, that's what I do when I feel down. I've been feeling down a couple of days, not only about what's going on in the church, but in my own personal life. I don't like me sometimes. I don't know about you Christians out there, but this Christian right here don't like himself when he's not living up to the max. When he's not living up to what he should be, he doesn't like himself. I am harder on myself than on anyone else because I'm the guy that blew it. I just noticed on the scroll on the website, I didn't spell stay right. See, my fingers are moving too fast. I'll change it. But you know what? That's what I'm trying to tell you people. Laugh at your mistakes. We are incapable of doing everything right. It was never God's intention when he created us to make us the bottom line. God is the bottom line. Can you worship him like that? Can you praise him like that in the midst of everything being foul? You know, they had this thing came out on this preacher that some gang members stoned his church and stuff like that, and they showed him crying on the internet once, and then they come to find out that the guy had a record for indecent exposure, and a lot of people are tripping out behind that. There's no reason to trip out. I think every human being that I've ever met should be accused of indecent exposure. All of us. Bible puts it this way, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't be surprised when you find out that a preacher is sinned. Don't be surprised one day if I tell you of my sin. I just may, you know, for the kick of it, do it. Well, you can't be a pastor. Probably not in your book. I didn't call myself to be a pastor. You know, I had, you know, an interesting conversation with Reamer. Reamer was, he seems to be coming to the same ideals that I'm coming to about the church. I disdain organized religion, especially when put forth by denominations. When I was a younger Christian, I was into that because that's the only place where you would find a so-called Christian. You'd have to go to an organized denominational church. And then you find yourself, defending your corner. Well, I'm a Pentecostal, so the Baptists are wrong. I speak in tongues and they don't, so we're better than they. Well, they're Catholic and they believe in Mary worship and worshiping of the saints, so they're all going to hell because the Pope is the Antichrist. I'm a Reformed brother, and I'm Calvinistic, so I don't worry about witnessing because God's going to save whom he chooses in the first place. We got all these different mixtures and modes of religion, and I call it crapology is what it is. It's crapology. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I too vulgar for you? Let me tell you the truth. You know it's true. Your particular group hates the other particular group, and you're supposed to be Christians. You're just like the Muslims, the Sunnis and the other ones, hating each other. They're all Muslims, hating each other. Same thing in the Buddhist sects. well, we're from this Buddha and you're from that Buddha, and so we can kill you and eradicate. I'm sick of organized religion. That is not God. None of that is God. None of it is. None of it is. I wish I had known that a week after I had accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, a week after I joined the Olivet Baptist Church. I wish I had thought that way. But know what God does is he holds us back and he opens our minds to these things as we mature in Jesus Christ. And I want to be like the first century Christian. I want to be a part of that cultic group. I want to be like a Christian in the time that Jesus lived in. I was talking to a set of students as well as some Christians in a Bible study. And I said, when Jesus spoke, when the apostles wrote, the original apostles, and these crackpots that call themselves apostles today, ridiculous, just insane. These jokers like Fred Price, if they even knew what the Apostle Paul had to endure, wasn't it a wonderful thing that Paul said in the scriptures that I'm ready to be offered, that I'm ready to offer my life as a sacrifice? Do you think that these hypocritical American Christians in this country would sacrifice themselves for anything? Let me give you a prime example. I was sharing this with some of my philosophy students yesterday. I was on the way to school and I'd forgotten my slide projector, my PowerPoint projector, so I had to come home and get it. On the way back to the school, I passed by. Well, I saw my sister standing at a bus stop. I go down the main boulevard, so I pulled over. My actual sister, she's 2 years older than myself. She's 67. And I pulled over and I said, "Hey, girl, what you doing out here?" So she says, "I'm on my way to get some lunch." And so I said, "Well, I had to run home, so I have to run back to the college, so I'll drop you off. Where are you going?" And she asked me to pray for her. And I said, "For what?" She says, "Well, I had a biopsy on my breast." And so I just said it, you know, just matter-of-factly came out, "Oh, you're dying." And she says, "Well, no, that's why I want you to pray for me, that I won't die." Yeah. I said, "What? That you won't die?" I said, "But you're 67. I'm 65. We're riding in this nice little coupe, and everything is cooler and everything, but this isn't going to last forever. I'm going to keel over and leave this mess. This is material. You're going to die. Everybody dies." I said, "Come on, Diane." "Oh, don't say that." And so I said, "What's the real problem?" She says, "I'm not ready yet." I says, "You're not ready?" I said, "What do you mean you're not ready?" No, I think I thought I knew what she meant. But I asked her, "What do you mean? You ain't ready." And I said, "Well, I tell you what, tomorrow I'm off. And I'm going to come by and I'll let you know how you can get ready to die, because you are going to die." And I, you know, she says, "But I'm afraid." I said, "Well, there's nothing to be afraid of. You have no control over it. You're going to die. All of you that are listening to me, one day are going to drop dead. You're going to drop dead. A safe is going to fall on you. A piano is going to crush you. The plane's going to crash. The ship is going to sink. The gas tank is going to explode. Are you going to die in your sleep? Are you going to get cancer? A wild flea will bite you. You'll swell up and burst. Or you'll eat your new daughter-in-law's cooking and die of food poisoning. Are you marrying a strange lunatic that's a sex maniac and they'll poison you because you won't let them put their spewy fluids on you? You're going to die of something. Are you just going to go to sleep one day and not wake up?" We like that one, don't we? "I don't know how I'm going to die, but there's one thing I do know. I want to die. I desire to die. I don't like this place. As a matter of fact, if I'm really honest with it, I never liked this place. And especially since I became a Christian, I really don't like this place. Like I said, I'm a cult member. I'm a first century Christian. It's kind of weird. My sister grew up with me in the same house that I grew up in, and she's a couple of years older than I, and she's afraid to die. That is strange. But she professes to be a Christian, right? And she's afraid to die. I'm not ready, she says. I'm not ready. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, you ready. That's going to be the beginning of my premise when I go over there. Oh, baby, you ready. To prove it, if the biopsy comes back cancerous, it proves that you fit to die. And then she'll probably say something sarcastic like, oh, you're just saying that because you don't have a disease. I say, yes, I do.